Good morning, church. I think us looking at seeking righteousness this week is yet another way that God works his way. I think we've just heard or experienced potentially two different ways in which righteousness is sought out through helping others in less fortunate situations by going over and being a part of their lives and trying to help them get into a new cycle of life. But also yesterday when we all voted on an issue, although, like Phil mentioned, there might be some who are disappointed by the outcome, some who are not, essentially what the heart of that issue was is how do we move forward to make things right? And that is basically what we're talking about today, seeking righteousness or making things right with both God and others and creation. So we want to look at that and continue our Beatitude series on talking about righteousness. And in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus uttered the words, "Blessed are those who seek righteousness." And these words have guided and moved the hearts of Christians, I believe, to seek righteousness and a life that aligns with that idea of righteousness. Our search for righteousness, though, isn't something that is only asked of us in that Sermon on the Mount, like we just read in Isaiah. It's through God's heart that we see righteousness, and that's echoed throughout Scripture constantly. The prophet Isaiah's words, we see this call echoing even into today. In verse 1, it says, "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and the quarry from which you were hewn." So just as rock is hewn, we're made from God's image, and our pursuit of righteousness is a central part of our spiritual DNA. It's a big part of who God is, and it's a big part of who we ought to be as well. And so that heartbeat of righteousness is throughout the Bible, giving life to God's truth. And it's a path that has been generations in the making. As we see again in that verse of Isaiah, we see that Abraham is called someone who was seeking righteousness, and then he gained blessings through that. So we're going to explore that idea together, the heart of righteousness, exploring its definition or what it might mean to us, the blessing it bestows, the challenges that come along with it, some ways we can potentially seek it and live it out as well. So I would ask that we begin by praying together. Dear God, thank you so much that you are interested in speaking to us today, that you're interested in what we're going through this week, and that you'd like us to live in a way that glorifies you. We ask that your message be heard today, that no matter what ideas that I've come in with preconceived, that only your message would come through. I ask that you open our hearts and minds so that we may receive that message and that idea, and may it transform our walk this week. In Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, I want to define righteousness kind of before we get too stuck into it. So defining righteousness, I think a good way of expressing it is that it's an alignment of the heart, mind, and actions with God's perfect will and character. We define righteousness through God. God is the author of all righteousness. Our understanding of righteousness also draws deeply from the wisdom of Scripture. In the book of Psalms, we are told, "My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness." Here we get a glimpse of the profound connection between God's commandments and righteousness. But it's not this what an idea often is of being a legalistic adherence to a set of rules, but it's an ability to embrace God's divine instructions as blueprints for our lives. And righteousness encompasses the desire to do what is right or make something right, to do what is just even, both in the sight of God and also hopefully our fellow human beings. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus emphasizes the importance of righteousness, saying, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Although Jesus was trying to say another message in that too. It highlights the importance of righteousness, and that it's not merely an external display of piety, but a matter of the heart. Moreover, it is perhaps a bit more complicated than we tend to think of it. Righteousness is intrinsically linked to justice, moral integrity, and living a life that mirrors God's holiness to those around us. The prophet Isaiah paints a vivid picture of righteousness as well in that chapter, Isaiah 51. And he really tries to drive home the connectedness of God's character being where we drive our righteousness from as well. Our connection to God is where we get it from. Righteousness isn't this abstract concept necessarily or a distant ideal. It's the very essence of God's character manifesting in his word and embedded in the DNA of every believer. It's a living, breathing expression of our faith. It requires active participation. It requires a heart attuned to God's guidance, a mind renewed by the word, and a life that reflects his love and grace. So as we explore this idea of righteousness, I wanted to start with perhaps an encouragement for why we should seek righteousness. And it says in the scripture that there are blessings to be had from seeking righteousness. And some of these blessings we can see throughout different scripture affirm righteousness in the different blessings we get from it. The first being peace of mind. So if your life is chaotic, if you're feeling overwhelmed and everything is going wrong, seeking righteousness can actually help in this way. A sense of peace and contentment is a precious blessing that accompanies the pursuit of righteousness. It's that tranquility that settles upon one's heart when they're in perfect harmony with God's will. In Isaiah 32:7, we can read, "The effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever." This peace transcends the earthly circumstance we're facing and grants us that serenity in every part of life. We also gain fellowship with God. Seeking righteousness draws us closer into relationship with God. It's an invitation to walk in his presence and seek his guidance. In Psalm 15:2, we find the words, "He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks the truth in his heart is what God is after." This reflects the intimacy of walking hand in hand with God. We also see that God is interested and wants to protect those who seek righteousness. We see it in Psalm 34:15. "The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous and his ears towards their cry." This assurance should fill our hearts with confidence that as we seek righteousness, God is with us, following us around, listening to our every cry. And why we're all kind of here today in Matthew 5, verse 6, we see Jesus declare, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." He also says that they inherit the kingdom. And so this promise of those who seek righteousness, inheriting the kingdom of heaven, the ultimate blessing awaits the faithful who pursue that righteousness with passion. And these blessings go beyond the material. They go beyond the things that are going to be eaten up and taken away, but they are eternal things. They're things that keep forever. But as we seek the blessings of righteousness or righteousness itself, we can't forget that there's going to be challenges along the way. It even says it in Isaiah and points it out a little bit. But there is going to be challenges for those who seek righteousness. It even says it later in chapter 5 of Matthew in verse 10. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And so the path isn't always going to be smooth as we seek righteousness. So while seeking righteousness is that noble endeavor, is that something that is important for us, the world isn't going to necessarily like it as we seek God's will and character. In the world as we live today, there's an idea of moral relativism, this idea where everyone kind of gets to choose what's good and bad as they see fit. And we see that even in the Garden of Eden. Essentially, that's what the first sin was that we decided that, you know, God didn't know what was good and bad. We wanted to make that decision for ourselves. And we can see it today in society. And then it's hard. It's what causes division when we consider important topics to us. Everyone, I think, who, you know, voted yesterday, voted because they thought it was the right thing. They thought it was the good thing. I don't think anyone thought they were doing a bad thing by voting. But I know that people were very potentially hurt by conversations beforehand. And so this moral relativism creates a problem for us when we seek something that is perhaps a bit more objective, something that we don't even decide on. When we seek God's goodness and God's righteousness, it's going to cause problems with cultural norms. And on top of this, we have temptation. There is temptations and distractions that can pull us off the path of righteousness. The allure of immediate gratification or the desire for worldly success can just pull us away from this higher calling to live righteously. In Matthew 4, 1-11, we witness Jesus be tempted. And if Jesus is going to get tempted, we for sure will. And so this temptation and moral relativism can cause problems. And like I said, persecution, where it's not going to be an easy path. It's going to be a challenging path. From both those, the other two things that I've mentioned, there's going to be persecution. When we go against the grain, people are going to be frustrated and hurt by it and lash out. On top of this all, really what it comes down to is spiritual warfare. We're reminded in Ephesians 6 that our struggle isn't against people, flesh and blood, but it's against spiritual forces of evil. As we seek righteousness, we may encounter those spiritual battles that test our faith and our determination, our commitment to it. The enemy of our soul seeks to undermine that commitment to righteousness, to God. But we have the armor of God to withstand these challenges as well. And we need to prepare ourselves by taking up that armor. So in light of these challenges, I ask that we remember God's grace is sufficient. And his strength is made perfect in our weakness. With God as our guide and protector, we can navigate these trials and tribulations that may arise as we seek righteousness. But how do we seek righteousness? What's some practical steps for seeking righteousness? Firstly, we can study God's word. The foundation of righteousness is a deep understanding of God's word. Regularly immersing ourselves in our scripture and meditating on its teaching is paramount. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says, that scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. God doesn't hide the way forward for us. It's clear that scripture is an important aspect of seeking righteousness. And this study of scripture equips us with the knowledge needed to live righteously. Also, prayer and surrendering our hearts and actions to God. Seeking God's guidance through prayer, it's a direct line to the author of all righteousness, where we can pour our hearts out and receive his divine wisdom. We can talk about the challenges we're facing and receive his encouragement. In Romans 12, 2, we're encouraged to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In other words, what is righteous. Through prayer, we surrender our will to God's will, asking for his guidance in our journey towards this righteousness. Another important step that we often don't want to do because it's hard is seek accountability. In seeking accountability, we get to join in a community of others who hold us accountable for this quest of righteousness. And this network can provide support, encouragement, and spiritual growth. But it does come with vulnerability, and it can be hard. But in Proverbs 27:17, it's written, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another, or one person sharpens another. So through the encouragement of fellow believers, we can maintain our commitment to live righteously. Those moments where we're pulled away from that path, we can rejoin with it, with their encouragement. And so if you're not a part of a Connect group or a life group or whatever you might want to call it here, we would encourage you to join one for that sort of reason, to live life with people. You don't have to do it alone. Everyone has those tough times. Everyone has those tough times all the time, pretty much, but you don't have to do it alone. And so if you would like to talk about that later, you can talk to me or Phil or Kay, and we'll help you get there for sure. Another thing we need to do is practice forgiveness. As we seek righteousness, we need to also understand we're not righteous, and that we're not righteous, that other people aren't righteous. And it means that we need to forgive others as well. It says in Colossians 3, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And finally, we can live with integrity. We can strive for that consistency in our words and actions. Let your life be a testimony to the righteousness of God. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Our words and our deeds should reflect the purity of our hearts as we pursue righteousness. Seeking righteousness is a transformative process, a journey that begins with a single step and continues throughout our lives. Just like meekness, it's not a destination that we'll probably get to in this lifetime, but it's a journey that we need to keep on taking steps forward. So I hope that we recognize that our quest for righteousness is a lifelong commitment, marked by constant prayer, a deep knowledge of God's word, and a supportive Christian community. With these elements in place, we can actively pursue a righteous life, aligning our actions with the holiness of God. And in our pursuit of righteousness, we're not only motivated by the promise of blessings that I talked about earlier, but there's also other profound rewards that accompany this. And they're not, again, limited to earthly life, but extend into eternity. God's guidance, seeking righteousness, leads to a deeper connection with God and his guidance. In Psalm 32, he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. As we earnestly seek righteousness, God becomes that divine guide, directing our steps and helping us make wise choices. We also get the reward of being a positive influence to those around us, to those who perhaps don't know God yet. Our righteous life can be a beacon to those around us, living in a confronting world. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus encourages us to let our light shine before others so that they may know of our good works and glorify our Father through them. Living righteously can inspire and influence others to seek the same path. Inner transformation as well. The pursuit of righteousness transforms us internally. It changes the way we think, the way we act, the way we want to be. And ultimately, above all the others, it gives us eternal life. Obviously, only provided the opportunity through Christ, but righteousness and the seeking of righteousness connects us closely with God. Like I said, God is the very author of righteousness. So as we seek righteousness, truly what we're seeking is God. And as we seek and draw closer to God, we get to live in his life and eternal life with him. And our presence in God's eternity is secured, enjoying unending fellowship with him. So the rewards of seeking righteousness extend far beyond the temporal, but they reach into today, they reach into the future, and it can guide our decisions and transform our character and our lives forever, and can change other people's lives forever as well. So these rewards underscore the significance of our pursuit. It's not merely an individual endeavor or like a moment in time, but it is a pathway, it's a journey, it's something that we need to keep on stepping to, and it brings glory to God, draws us and others closer to him, and cements our connection to Christ, which ensures our place in his eternal kingdom forever. So as we navigate the challenges of life, may we find comfort and encouragement in these rewards, that there is something greater that we're moving towards. And may we persevere in our commitment to seek righteousness with unwavering faith and hope. So the challenge today is I'm going to ask you to pray every morning, something like what's up there at the moment, or something like it anyway. And it's going to be simple. It's just two things realistically that I want you to ask for. It's strength and wisdom. So the example is, God, give me the strength to be righteous in all that I do. Give me the wisdom to always seek your voice and guidance. And that is it. That's all I want you to do for 7 days and see how that pans out. Perhaps continue that conversation throughout the day with God about what that would look like for you each day. So that's all the time. I hit 20 minutes pretty well, kept it good. But I would like you to reflect in, as we move into another time of worship, another song, reflect on righteousness and what that means to you, what that might change for you this week. So if you can stand, we ask you to stand as we sing together.